Several years ago, we did a show on the Legion of Mary, and many of you requested that we give you a bit more information and tell you more about the organization and its role in the church today. To help us with this, we have a wonderful priest with us from the Diocese of Arlington. He's been a member of the Legion of Mary, believe it or not, Mother, for 25 years.
He looks 25.
I know, he looks 25. Father Francis Tefley is with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
A pleasure. A pleasure. Our father comes from Arlington, and this diocese is just exploding with young priests. You're naturally one of them.
We're very blessed with lots of vocation to the priesthood and also many people that are involved in the lay organizations of the church as well. So we're very blessed.
Well, explain to the people, what is the Legion of Mary?
Well, it's an apostolic organization for Catholic men and women and children as well. It's been around since 1921, so it's about the same age as you, Mother. I know you're... Well, so you're 77 and the Legion is 79.
Older than she? But I was born 23.
23, right. And the Legion was born in 1921 in Ireland.
I'm 2 years older.
Right. And in fact, the Legion started there, but it spread throughout almost every country of the world. And today it has over 3 million active members that attend a weekly meeting and do apostolic work each week. But it also has over 20 million auxiliary members that pray the rosary every day.
Oh, awesome.
Is it growing? I mean, we don't hear much about the Legion of Mary here in the United States.
Well, it's primarily growing in South Korea, Africa, South America, and the Philippines. For example, South Korea has 300,000 active members of the Legion. Mm-hmm. The United States only has 32,000. So South Korea has 10 times the number of active members. Brazil has 400,000 active members, the Philippines has 200,000, and Zaire has 300,000 active members. So you can see that the church is growing rapidly in these countries, and we're hoping that the Legion will also grow rapidly in the United States.
Well, it seems like, especially the elderly ought to join. How do they join? We have how many million? 60 million Catholics in America?
Yeah, yeah.
That could change. It's 25%, isn't it? You're 25% Catholic.
Yes, it is.
That's true. In fact, we are hoping that we will get an increase in especially young adult legionaries, and we're seeing this in our diocese quite a bit. For example, about 10 years ago, we only had 25 legion groups in our whole diocese. Today, we have 130 legion groups in our diocese. About 50 out of 65 of our parishes have the Legion now.
Oh, that's awesome.
The question I had when I heard Legion of Mary, how is this different from the Blue Army and the Fatima Family Apostolate and the Sacred Heart League and a lot of these other groups? How does it distinguish itself?
Well, I guess one reason is because the Legion has a weekly meeting, which includes the rosary, spiritual reading, discussion, and then reports, as well as a talk by a priest. And then one big difference is that every member goes out and does 2 hours of assigned apostolic work, which could be home-to-home visitation, visiting the prisons, hospitals, nursing homes. So it balances prayer and action as well.
Now, how does that work, the door-to-door visitation? When I heard this, this is fascinating. We see this in Italy more commonly, I think, than in the United States.
Well, for example, last year in the Diocese of Arlington, we visited over 30,000 homes. Just knocking on doors, starting at one end of the street, and simply inviting people to learn more about the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we would tell them about RCIA programs that were starting. And in fact, we've been very blessed. We have one Korean parish in our diocese, and that one parish has 22 groups of the Legion of Mary, 230 members. And a couple years ago, for RCIA, they had 250 conversions. The Easter Vigil must have lasted a couple hours.
Yeah.
But 250 people received into the church in 1 year because of legionaries just knocking on doors, inviting people to learn more about the Catholic faith.
We need more spirituality and these different kinds of spiritual things are what bring the people in.
Mm-hmm. And the spirituality of the Legion is St. Louis de Montfort, which is a Holy Father of spirituality, Mother Teresa, Maximilian Kolbe. This is the spirituality of these great future saints.
Now there are many people watching who will know who St. Louis de Montfort is.
Right.
There are many watching who won't know. Give us the Reader's Digest of his spirituality.
He was a priest born in France in the year 1673. He only lived to be 42 years of age. But during his lifetime, he wrote some very important books like The True Devotion to Mary and The Love of Eternal Wisdom. And his writings have been picked up by Maximilian Kolbe, our Holy Father, and many others, and it's really the basis of, his basic point was that we should consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary and try to live in union with Jesus and Mary. And so he went all over France, Western France, preaching missions, encouraging people to renew their baptismal vows and to consecrate themselves to Jesus through Mary.
You know, after I was healed at Mrs. Wise's, that's the first thing I did. We did the whole thing, you know.
Yes, the 33-day preparation.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And now, what is the result? A lot of people here, and indeed, the Pope is asking people to consecrate themselves to Mary on the 8th of October. What does this mean as far as practically? What happens after the act of consecration?
Awesome things.
Well, in fact, it can change a person's life. The Holy Father read de Montfort's True Devotion when he was a young seminarian. Mm-hmm. He said reading that book was a turning point in his life. Mm-hmm. Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, read the book and it deepened his spirituality and helped bring about a deepening of his conversion. But normally what should happen after somebody reads the book is that they should try to live the total consecration to Jesus through Mary by apostolic work, by spreading the faith to other people. Because Our Lady is there to bring us to Christ. And so if we're united to Our Lady, we'll want to bring souls to Christ as well.
Right. But you know, for me, it began my vocation. But for me, I've always wondered before that, when I got converted at 18 or 19, where does all the things you try to do right go? I mean, that was my little simple thing. When you're in the church and then come back to church at the same time, you wonder these little things. Yeah. You know, I pray, I say my rosary. Well, what happens after that? And I was always afraid I would forget to make a good intention. See, when I read that book, I thought, I don't need to worry about that. I gave it all to Our Lady, past, present, and future, and in eternity.
That's right.
Now that I've got so many faults, weaknesses, imperfections, and frailties, since I'm in television, I said to myself a couple of weeks ago, I said, sweet mother, you know, I seem to be getting more faulty by the minute. I don't think that's what's supposed to be. So I tell you what I'm going to do. Since I gave you everything good I do, I'm going to give you everything I don't do too good. You got to take it all. You just can't give it apart, you know.
I feel
a lot better. I just give it to her. And it's a freedom that you don't have any other way.
Sure. But it's just imitating Christ, because the incarnation took place in Mary's womb.
Yes.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ himself made himself completely dependent on the Blessed Mother. In a sense, he entrusted himself to her care. Mm-hmm. So all we're doing is imitating Christ and entrusting ourselves to Our Lady's care as well.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is fascinating. There's another thing we talked about a little earlier. The secret bag. Tell us about the secret bag. There's a secret bag in the Legion of Mary. You'll love this. A secret bag.
B-A-G bag?
B-A-G.
Bag,
yeah. I never heard it. Go ahead.
I haven't either.
Well, Mother, to be a member of the Legion, there's no dues. You don't have to pay any money. And you just come to a weekly meeting, and after the rosary, we have spiritual reading, and then we have reports on the apostolic work done. And then the priest gives a talk, and after the priest gives a little talk, then the treasurer passes a little bag under the table called the secret bag, because nobody knows what anybody gives.
I don't have a table.
Yeah, now don't get me ideas. I don't know. I didn't bring any money in, so the bag is going to work here.
And in fact, every member has to put their hand in, okay?
In the bag?
You have to put your hand in the bag, and then you pass it to the next member. So nobody knows if somebody gives 50 cents or $20.
You know when you open it up, though.
Well, right, we do, because we do count it. But the thing is, nobody knows it. But they're not supposed to take any money out of the bag. That's part of it, too. So,
but, it's a pretty good deal.
But it's amazing that a worldwide organization that's in almost every country of the world, that's their only means of support. And that money goes to buying rosaries, miraculous medals, and scapulars that we give out on our assignment.
Oh, we're reliant on Providence, and they don't judge anyone on how much they can give. I thought it was a neat way of collecting dues without making anybody feel bad.
I took that money. I showed it all around. I think it does awesome work, though.
Oh, yeah. And we should talk about your personal journey into the Legion of Mary. We said Father's been here for 25 years.
Actually, 27
years. 27.
I've been an active member since I was 10 years old, so you just figured out my age.
I figure out why you're a priest.
In fact, I do attribute my vocation to my involvement with the Legion of Mary.
Yeah.
And also the support of my family, and I attended Christendom College in Virginia.
Oh, that would help.
So those three things, I believe, really helped to foster my vocation. In fact, I was talking to a priest who knows Cardinal Sin in the Philippines, and Cardinal Sin told this priest that it was his involvement in the Legion of Mary that brought him to the priesthood, and now, of course, he's the Cardinal of Manila.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, my own involvement began because, well, first of all, I should say that my parents actually met in the Legion of Mary. Hmm. And the way it happened was in 1954, a very holy priest decided to start the Legion in Reading, Pennsylvania. And my dad was under his spiritual direction. And so this priest asked my dad for 2 years to join the Legion, and my dad would never do it. Finally, one day, my dad went to confession to this priest, and the priest says, "For your penance, join the Legion of Mary."
Oh, wow!
Actually, just a little bit of a clarification on that. It was actually more of a recommendation in spiritual direction.
Recommendation?
And I say to my dad, "Dad, it's been 46 years. What in the world did you confess to get penance of 46 years?" Well, actually, he met my mom at a Legion meeting, and they got married on September 8th, 1958, Our Lady's birthday. And for their honeymoon, they went to Lourdes to entrust their marriage to the Blessed Mother. And they also spent many weeks in Dublin learning about the Legion of Mary and having breakfast every morning with Frank Duff, the founder. And what's unique about my mom and dad's honeymoon is that the priest who did the wedding went with them on the honeymoon. The three of them had a wonderful time on the...
You hear that?
Quiet honeymoon. Quiet honeymoon.
But I don't know any of the couples that took a priest with them on the honeymoon. My sisters wouldn't take me on their honeymoon.
No. Good thing, I think. Yeah. Tell us about the founder of the Legion. Who is he? Why did he find this organization?
His name was Frank Duff. I have a little picture of him right here. I'm not sure if you can get this on the film.
Oh, they have it back there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, there
you
don't
need that. That's for the studio audience there. Frank Duff was an amazing man. I believe he was one of the greatest lay apostles of the 20th century. When he read the book, The True Devotion, it really brought about his deepening of his conversion. From about the year 1917 until he died in 1980, at the age of 91, he went to daily Mass, made a holy hour each day before the Blessed Sacrament, prayed the rosary every day, and said the entire divine office each day.
Mm.
And he also corresponded with thousands of people throughout the world. In fact, he wrote in his lifetime 200,000 letters.
Now, he is up for beatification?
He is. Right now, he's servant of God. And so we're hoping that in the near future, he'll be beatified and, God willing, canonized. But what they're doing now is they have to accumulate all his writings. And so they've now have a room about this size of his 200,000 letters. And that's what's holding up his cause. So they say, if you want to become a saint, don't write too much.
No, that's not it. If you want to become a saint, don't talk too much.
This isn't autobiographical, is it?
No.
No personal.
Did you know that Raymond is going to write a book about me?
Very good.
You want to tell everything tonight? My goodness.
Sure.
There'll be no secrets left.
No, I just got to keep you moving.
Okay. Well, no, I'm in there. Don't you worry.
In fact, Mother, I love your book, Answers Not Promises.
Yeah.
I've been ordained for 10 years, and in the last 10 years, I've given out over 300 copies of that book.
Oh, really?
To people. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
buy
love
that
book.
It's really good for you.
Now, wait, this is about the Legion of Mary.
He brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
I got to keep us on topic here. Why is it called the Legion of Mary?
Well, actually, the original name was called the Association of Our Lady of Mercy for the first 4 years, because the work the legionaries did was to go to the hospital run by the Mercy Sisters back in 1921. But then after about 4 years, when the Legion started to spread to Scotland and England and Wales, they wanted a different name, so they all prayed for inspiration to the Holy Spirit. And one night, Frank Duff was praying, and into his head popped the name, the Legion of Mary.
Wow.
Which I think is great, because now we can be called legionaries instead of mercenaries.
It's a good thing.
Why would you be called mercenaries?
Well, Our Lady of Mercy, Association of Our Lady of Mercy.
Oh, they did. Oh, okay.
That's a little good.
young people watching tonight, some of them might think, Legion of Mary.
What's that about?
What's that about, and why should I be involved?
Well, in fact, it's wonderful for young people. In our diocese, we have over 30 groups of young people in the Legion. And these are children ages 8 and older. We call them junior presidia or junior groups. And the high school kids, we call them intermediate presidia. And we even have what's called a youth evangelization weekend where we get all the young people like ages 16 and young adults, and we go door to door on a weekend. It's like a miniature retreat. We begin with Mass. We have a holy hour. We divide the young people up into twos, like Jesus sent out the apostles, and then they go out and do home-to-home visitation. They come back and report on it. And as a priest, when I'm there, I really enjoy that part because I feel like our Lord must have felt when the 72 disciples came back and reported what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
So for young people, it's a wonderful organization. I really hope that in America, more young people will join. But as I mentioned, Africa, Korea, the Philippines have thousands.
Well, how would a young man join now, today, if he wanted to? There's nothing there to go to, is there?
Well, in our diocese, like I said, in the United States, there are 32,000 members. So that means that the Legion is in every diocese in the United States, and it's in quite a few parishes. So if somebody wanted to join, all they'd have to do is call the local parish to find out if they have the Legion, and then just attend the meeting.
I think the word Legion means to fight for God. Don't you think? Did that give you that impression?
Yeah, to rally under the,
right.
As you were saying, the King and the Queen in this case.
Yes, Christ will be the King and Our Lady the Queen.
Yeah.
And so we're servants, and with the idea of the Legion of Mary, it's modeled after the Roman Legion and also the St. Vincent de Paul Society. In fact, today is the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul. And so we try to develop the qualities of a good legionary of Mary, namely courage and discipline and self-sacrifice and faithfulness and spreading the faith.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome, though. I think when a young priest does that,
oh, sure.
I think that's attractive.
And you were saying something else, and this is fascinating. He was saying when a priest initiates this, what is in it for him?
Well, I look upon it the fact that Christ had his 12 apostles. So I believe every priest should also have his group of apostles that a priest can train them and conform them, and they can send them out to do the kind of works that need to be done in the parish,
right.
Reaching out to the fallen away Catholics. For example, in my own parish, I've only been there a few months, but we started 3 Legion groups, and I have about 60 members of the Legion.
Mm.
In fact, I should mention that one of my brand new president is a convert of yours.
Oh, really?
A year ago, she was non-religious. She was no religion. She began watching EWTN a year ago. Then she went to RCIA, became a Catholic in May, and today she's the president of one of my new groups at the parish.
People hunger for God. Yeah.
Really amazing. You never know.
Yeah. So I think that's an example of how the priest working with the lay people can do a tremendous amount of good. So what I consider going to my Legion meeting every week, let's say investing 1 hour of time for me, I get back about 30 hours of apostolic work done by the lay people.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful ratio. So I think it's like the best use of a priest's time after saying Mass, hearing confessions, and visiting the sick.
Well, you know, last night we were talking about the old-fashioned extreme unction, you know.
Right.
Then we start talking about the mystical body of Christ and how what we do, good or bad, affects the whole mystical body. Tell us, how does the members of the Legion of Mary, how do their works affect, you know, the whole Legion, the whole mystical body?
Well, it's interesting because the central doctrine of the Legion is the mystical body of Christ. So whatever we do to another person, Jesus says, you've done unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to see me. And so the Legion does spiritual works of mercy, teaching catechism, visiting the imprisoned, the hospitals, the nursing home. So in a sense, the Legion is actually putting into practice the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ. Now, Mary is the mother of the church. She's the mother of the mystical body. And so because of that, we in the Legion see ourselves, in a sense, as Mary's hands and feet, that we're out there to love and see and serve Christ present in each person.
That's awesome. When you think whatever you do, affects all the people in the church.
Ripples outward, and good or for good or bad, which is why it's important to have those who pray, those who are active, you know, and you all do both.
We do. In fact, I also wanted to mention to you that when we go out and visit the shut-ins and and the nursing homes, we always take your EWTN schedule with us.
Okay.
And we give it to all of our shut-ins. And in fact, many of them have said that they watch it all day long.
Praise God.
And in the hospital, too, some of our hospitals get EWTN. So, in a sense, you know, what you're doing here is rippling out throughout the world, of course. And what we try to do in our own small way through the Legion is to bring God's love to the people that we visit as well.
Sure.
And we're called to try to, at least on every visit, try to lead the person a little bit closer to God if we can.
I like to think the mystical body, like each person is a bulb, you know? And maybe some give out only 10 watts, 50 watts, 100 watts, a million watts, a trillion watts. But they go that far, you know, according to your own holiness and how close you are to God. It's important that we all try to be holy and close to the Lord, so that that light, he said, don't put it under a bushel. You know?
Mm-hmm. In fact, Mother, the very most important point of the Legion is that we're in the Legion to grow closer to God.
Right.
So the primary purpose is to grow in holiness, and the secondary purpose is to evangelize and spread the faith. So you're right, it all comes down to holiness. Mm-hmm. That's why we're in the Legion, is to become saints.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to sign off, that's what he said.
You want me to go to a break?
That's what the young boy said.
Okay.
When he goes this way, he's not breaking your neck.
No, I thought he was breaking bread or something. I didn't know. Well, stay with us. We'll be back with your questions after this break.
This poem, but I have to ask for, I mean, I have to answer a call. Hello, where are you from?
Hi, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, how old are you?
I'm going to be 11 on October 26th.
Oh, three cheers for you. What's your question, honey?
My question is, I wanted to know, how old you have to be to join the Legion of Mary? My sister, she belongs to the Legion of Mary at her college in Maryland.
That's a wonderful question. I really hope this young lady joins. Normally, it's about 8 years old. You can join at eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Oh, you're eight.
Usually after you make your first communion.
When you make your first communion, you
usually
can join
at that
the
time.
Legion.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful.
And the children make rosaries. They go out and visit the nursing homes, the shut-ins. And one of our great work with juniors is to visit families with newly baptized babies and to give a miraculous medal to the family for the child.
And these are 8 years old?
8 years old. Of course, they are accompanied by the older members.
Oh, I think, well, you could get right in there. I mean, I would do it as fast as you can. Okay, Raymond?
I've got a question here in the audience, Mother.
This question is for Father. I understand an Adele Quinn is also in the process of being beatified.
Here it is.
Yes, in fact, the Mother has the book right there on the table.
Yeah.
And that's the... I'm not sure if we have a picture of Adele Quinn for the audience here.
There you go.
Yes, in fact, Adele Quinn was a tremendous young woman. She went to Africa. She was, in fact, was only given 6 months to live. She was dying of tuberculosis, but she volunteered to go to Africa to establish and to spread the Legion of Mary. And she lived for 8 years, and she set up thousands of Legion groups all over Africa. And as I mentioned today, Zaire has 300,000 members. Uganda has 100,000, Angola has 150,000 members. So Adele Quinn helped to establish the Legion in Africa, and since then it's spread all over Africa. And she is now venerable, so she's the closest member of the Legion that hopefully soon will be beatified.
Oh, awesome. Do we have a call? No. Raymond?
I've got another question. Gerald is here with me. Where are you from?
Warren, Michigan.
Warren, Michigan. What's your question?
How can we get our parish involved in the Legion of Mary?
Well, all you need is the permission of the pastor. You just have to go up to the pastor and ask him, can we start a group? And just say, Father, what kind of work do you want done? Do you want parish census work? Do you want us to visit your, you know, fallen away Catholics? In fact, in my own parish, in the last month, I know of 5 people that came back to the sacrament through the visits of the legionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main thing is to ask the pastor what kind of work he wants done, and then be willing to do that.
I'm thinking of that.
Hi, what is your question? Where are you from?
I'm Joanne McOsker. I'm from Rhode Island, and I was so pleased to see Father Teffley here because we go back so many years, and we are in the Legion of Mary. We have some Legion of Mary members here with us. But, Father, what's so important about the Legion is that it does evangelization, and if every church, if every parish would have a Legion, the evangelization would be fantastic. And I want to mention also that your father has written so many beautiful songs, Marian songs, that sister, mother, you should really have them in your gift shop. They're beautiful. And his mother and father have both records and tapes and everything.
Boy, we're pushing a lot of product tonight. I feel like a pitch man. Father, tell us about your father, though.
That's true. My dad did make 4 record albums, songs about the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and our Lord, and I will give them to you as a gift after the show.
Wonderful, wonderful.
In fact, they were some of Mother Teresa's favorite songs.
Oh, wonderful.
One of her nuns showed us Mother Teresa's prayer book, and she had handwritten some of my dad's lyrics from his songs into her prayer book, so she prayed some of those every day.
Oh, we'd be glad to handle it. Go ahead.
We have another question, Mother. Tell me your name and where you're from.
My name is Laverno Yarzo, and I'm from Calistoga, California. And this type of evangelization that the Legion is doing, we are doing in our parish. But I think that we would like very much to connect with the Legion. And the thing is, I have not heard of anyone in the Diocese of Santa Rosa that has been involved with the Legion. So would I contact the diocese to see how I could go about this?
Yes, contact the diocese, because there are quite a few Legion groups in California, really hundreds, even thousands of Legion groups in California. So we'd love to talk with you about that.
Very good. I've got another question for you, Mother. Hi, tell me where you're from and your name.
My name is Liliana Diovidio, and I'm from Warwick, Rhode Island.
A good Irish lady.
Yeah, a paisan.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask the young ones, do they meet in each other's homes, or do they go to the rectory, and do they need an adult person there at all times? Does the priest have to be there? I mean, my pastor is elderly, so that he's quite busy. I wondered how we would do that in Warwick.
Well, so the junior groups do meet at the church as well, maybe in one of the school classrooms, and the children meet once a week, and they, you know, say the rosary and have their meeting, and the priest would not have to be there. If he's elderly, he could, obviously, even a junior group would have 2 adults that would run it as the president and vice president, mm-hmm. and they're the ones that would drive the kids to visit the nursing homes and the shut-ins.
Oh, that's good. Oh, he's done. Well, do we have a question? Let me give you the Legion of Mary, 820 Gibbon Street, number 203, Alexandra's Virginia, 22319. Let me give it to you again. Legion of Mary, 820 Gibbon Street.
Alexandria, Virginia. They mistyped it in the prompter.
No, they didn't. I mispronounced it.
I don't think you did. They just changed it on you.
Oh, they changed it on you. Okay.
Right. It's Alexandria, Virginia.
Anyway, I said it right.
Mm-hmm. You did.
I don't get it. I missed something here in this whole conversation. Okay. Alexandria, Virginia, 22319. Do I have time for my poem? Huh?
Sure.
I think it's beautiful. Where is it?
Right here. There,
right at the end there. Yeah.
This is at the end of this Legion of Mary, Legio Maria book. Now, this is a poem. It says, I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars, the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows. His tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower. The thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice, and carved by his powers. Rocks see his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart steps.
Thirst.
It what?
Thirst.
Thirst. Okay, I can't read this. The ever-beating sea. His what? Crown of thorns.
Crown.
Is twined with every thorn. His
cross.
Is what?
His cross is every tree.
You got to get a little better English in here.
This is a calligraphy that's really hard to read. My goodness.
Mother, I'm very impressed you can read that because it's very small print and in calligraphy.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Looks like it's in Arabic. My goodness.
All I did was pronounce true words.
No, I'm amazed you got through all that.
Thank you.
I won't interrupt.
It ends, his cross in every tree. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow, that's lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, we got to definitely get something else in here.
Yeah, you should fill the
Or I won't join the Legion.
Now, what is this manual? What is in it so people know, and how can they get a copy?
Well, the Legion Handbook, it can be bought by any Catholic. I would really encourage Catholics to buy it and to read it because it's a modern-day spiritual classic. It's what St. Francis de Sales, his introduction to the devout life was for his century. The Legion Handbook is for Catholics of today. It's a combination of prayer, devotion, doctrine, catechesis, apologetics, and a training manual for evangelization. And so you can get it by maybe writing us at that address.
What would you like the people listening now to remember most of all from this show?
Well, I'd highly recommend that each person listening or watching would make the consecration to Jesus through Mary according to St. Louis de Montfort. If they did that, it would change their life, just like it changed the lives of so many people in this century. In fact, one thing a lot of people don't know is that the Legion of Mary has had 4,000 martyrs in communist China.
Oh.
4,000 members of the Legion were martyred for their membership in the Legion of Mary. And what gave them the courage to undergo imprisonment and death was their de Montfort consecration, the fact that they had entrusted their whole lives to Jesus through Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I keep praying that the great dogma will be pronounced one of these days, Because she just is awesome. She's our mother.
And you do see that in certainly in the persecuted church in China that Father's talking about this weekend when the Pope canonizes Mother Drexel. He will also be beatifying 120 Chinese martyrs.
Oh, wow.
And the Chinese government is really up in arms about this, as you can imagine, because this will swell and rally the underground church in China, and it's a great threat to that regime. And these martyrs were certainly part of that effort.
Did you know that when we opened up the shortwave network, we had reporters there, and we talked to them, and after they were all gone, there was a Chinese reporter there. And she's looking around, and I thought, I wonder what's wrong. And she came up to me, and she said, "The underground church in China is waiting for you." And she ran. She ran, just like she was a scared little rabbit. She didn't, it was almost, she had to say it, but she didn't want anybody to hear it. And I thought when you said the underground church, I thought of that right away.
Right.
That they were waiting for us.
And these people, their intense devotion to Mary, Our Lady of Lavang, I believe it is, they have a festival every year. And these people literally endure and risk death and their families dying to go out and parade behind this this image of Our Lady. That sort of devotion is something that I think is lost in our culture, but is so treasured. Persecution will do it,
Oh, yeah.
It makes the church stronger. Wherever the church has been persecuted, it does flourish in the future.
How did the Legion take root in China, of all places?
What happened was Cardinal Ribery, right before the communists took over China in 1949, he knew that all the foreign priests and nuns were going to be expelled, that Mao Zedong was going to close down all the universities and Catholic hospitals. And so the cardinal knew that the only thing that would save the church were the lay people. And so he had Father Aidan McGrath start the Legion in Shanghai in 1949. In 1 year, there were 1,000 groups of the Legion. In 2 years, there were 2,000 groups. So when Mao Zedong took over, he found 40,000 members of the Legion of Mary that were evangelizing, baptizing, catechizing, and he declared it public enemy number one. And 40,000 legionaries were imprisoned, and as I mentioned, about 4,000 were martyred. Many legionaries spent 20 to 30, even 40 years in communist prison. Some of them have just been released in the last few years.
How would you like to give a blessing to millions and millions and millions of people in almost every language?
I hope my blessing is strong enough.
It will be.
Through the intercession of Our Lady, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's the biggest blessing you'll ever get.
That's very true.
It's wonderful. Our Lady can, only Our Lady can do that for us, and our dear Jesus, because it's Mother and Son. And that's what you have to remember, even those who don't understand Our Lady. You have to honor your Mother and your Father. And that's exactly what the Lord came to do, to see that everyone honored his Father. Because he said himself, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. And his Mother was that perfect woman who did exactly that. She only did what the Father asked her to do. She only said what she knew he wanted her to say. Greatly different than Jesus, because he is Son of God, and she, a creature of God, the most beautiful, the most awesome, brighter than any seraphim, greater than any warrior, and the most wonderful of mothers. And so this woman we call Mother Mary of God and our mother, given to us by her Son. So when Jesus died, he didn't have a thing. He gave it all away. But he gave us a part of himself, and he gave us all of himself in the Eucharist. And please, don't forget that dollar with that Gobi book. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye now.